Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Crypto Market Rundown, where we talk about everything that's happening in the great world of cryptocurrency, from the fundamentals in the news to the technicals on the charts. We spend the time doing hours of research so that you all don't have to. And for months now, we've been talking about how the crypto market has been going up and up and up. And this week, we have a little bit of a change of pace because while altcoins are primarily the things that are pulling back here, a lot of the large market cap cryptos like Bitcoin, like Ethereum, a few others as well, are actually holding pretty close to the highs. And there is a ton, and I mean a ton, of really great news and different stories that we got to talk about in today's episode, especially when it comes to the Ethereum side of things and all things ETF related. Because man, there's a lot happening. So before we get too deep into all of this, Tivo, how are we feeling over on your end?
Doing good, man. Been a downtrending, couple weeks, especially for alts. But there's just so much positive stuff going on in the space, especially within just us two being super busy. Like last week, we didn't get to record an episode, but we put out something that we recorded in consensus about ASI, the ASI AI coin merger. So if you haven't heard that, definitely go check it out. But just one of many things that, you know, price action is one thing, but then you got to remember sentiment's another, and we're going to cover that with the fear greed index here in a second. But during these times, it's definitely a good chance to maybe zoom out and kind of see how far we've come over the last, you know, year, 6 months, 3 months, etc., while we're in this boring range bound zone. And I know that's what you're going to do for us today.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the big question on everyone's mind here is the bull market over, right? Because they're seeing a lot of these altcoins just kind of bleed and move down, and it creates a lot of fear and uncertainty and doubt. And we like to call that FUD here in the crypto space. But a lot of this is happening, and it's exactly that. When we look at the state of the crypto market right now, Bitcoin is barely down 10% from its all-time high. Ethereum is down roughly 15% from its cycle high. Like, these are things that are closer to breakouts of the highs than they are to a breakdown of a macro lower low. And they're closer to breaking out to new highs than they are to a trend reversal in terms of, like, you know, where price is at. It's not until we start getting into a lot of the traditional altcoins that we start seeing the charts pivot. And then we start seeing the break of the 50-day, the break of the 200-day, the break to lower lows, you know, pullbacks of 30, 40, 50, 60%. And that's where I think a lot of people are concerned. So for all the Bitcoin and Ethereum maximalists out there who are holding mostly Bitcoin and Ethereum, they're looking at this and they're like, what pullback? Like, what move? You know, I don't really see anything too concerning here. And it's a lot of the people who are more heavily invested in altcoins or might have added leverage. Those are the people who are in a bit of deeper waters at the moment. So I guess, why is this happening? And I have a theory here, Tivo. I have a theory. You know, when we look at what's happened with Bitcoin and the Bitcoin ETFs, right? We've seen a ton of inflows, but we have to understand that altcoins are and have been historically more correlated to Ethereum, right? Ethereum is the king of the altcoins. Altcoins have historically been more correlated to Ethereum and been more impacted by Ethereum than they have been Bitcoin. And sure, when Bitcoin moves up, altcoins are going to do okay. We've seen that before. But it's really when Ethereum takes off, which is when altcoins are going to see the most impact in price.
Have you ever wanted to trade Bitcoin but haven't dared tried? With Plus 500 Futures, you can trade crypto without the hassle of opening a wallet. With just a few clicks, you can register and start practicing with their free and unlimited demo. See a trading opportunity? You'll be able to trade in just two clicks. Feel ready? You can move to real money with as little as $100 once your account is approved. And the great thing is that in addition to crypto, Plus 500 gives you access to a wide range of instruments like the S&P 500, NASDAQ, gas, and much more. Explore equity indices like energy, metals, Forex, and beyond. With a simple and intuitive platform, you can trade anytime, anywhere. Experience the fast, accessible futures trading you've been waiting for with Plus 500. With over 20 years of experience, Plus 500 is your gateway to the markets. Visit us.plus500.com to learn more. Trading in futures involves risk of loss and is not suitable for everyone. Not all applicants will qualify, and this is not personal financial advice. Plus 500, it's trading with a plus.
And Ethereum has still yet to hit a new all-time high. And when we look at most traditional altcoins, most traditional altcoins are also yet to hit a new all-time high. So I think it's only fair and safe to say that once we start seeing Ethereum hit a new all-time high and start appreciating on that end of the spectrum, then we can also start to look at altcoins and expect altcoins and a lot of the traditional ones to hit new all-time highs as well. And I think the big thing that's holding us back here, and I've said this before and I'll say it again, is the Ethereum ETF. Now, it's looking like this thing is going to hopefully start trading within the next month. Fingers crossed within the next few weeks. We got some big Ethereum news that we're going to be bringing up here in just a few minutes when it comes to the SEC. But I really do believe that once two factors are met, we can see not only Ethereum turn around, but even a lot of altcoins. Factor number one. I think it has to be the approval of these spot Ethereum ETFs so that they can keep up with the inflows and the institutional attraction that we've seen happening on Bitcoin for the first 6 months of this year. Billions and billions of dollars of inflows. I think these asset managers now accumulated almost something like 4.5 to 5% of Bitcoin supply, which is wild. It's been one of the biggest successes in ETF history. And so that's factor number one. We get the Ethereum spot ETFs. Factor number two, we see positive inflows. And I'm saying that one specifically because one of the players who has an ETF here is Grayscale. And we know what happened with Grayscale when it came to the Bitcoin ETFs. We saw how many outflows or how many, just the sheer amount of outflows that happened through Grayscale. And if we can avoid that, and if we can hit the ground running, and if we can see these positive inflows into the Ethereum ETFs, I see Ethereum taking off. Even with all the craziness that happened with the Bitcoin ETFs, it's still appreciated from bottom to top about 92% in roughly about a 2 month period, which is wild. And if Ethereum does the same thing, then that would put Ethereum close to like $6,000 to $7,000, and that kind of appreciation on Ethereum would do wonders for the altcoin market. And I think that that could see a massive recovery over there. So when we're looking at the state of altcoins, I think altcoins are a little bit more risk on at the moment, and it makes sense. But this could be one of those periods where we just linger a little bit. Maybe we linger, we don't do anything too crazy, we consolidate, we bleed, we move up and down and sideways just a little bit until the Ethereum ETFs actually go live. And then that could potentially be the pivot point to watch out for. So if these things do go live, they start seeing good inflows, they're not seeing a mass exodus, then that could really potentially be the pivot point and the turning point. And it's something that I'm watching out for. Now, the other thing, TiVo, that you brought to my attention was the fear and greed index. And I want to kick that off to you because, you were looking at it yesterday. We pulled it up today. We saw this fairly substantial change in the fear and greed index overnight. And let's throw that up on the screen here because it dropped. I think it was from 74 last night. We woke up this morning to do this thing and it fell down to a 64, which just puts it at an interesting spot, right? Because it's still considered greed.
Yeah, lowest of the month. And I think it actually, I don't know if it makes sense, but it kind of aligns with how you described the whole market there in your opening, monologue was that the, Bitcoin, Ethereum, 10% from the high, Ethereum, 15% from the cycle high. Whereas, alts have taken quite the haircut over the last, month plus. And from the social media guy that on the team that's, scrolling the timelines every day, the sentiment is quite negative. And there's a lot of tears and people are, I don't know if angry is the right word, but just not, people aren't as positive as you would think, months after the ETF or staring down the barrel of the second ETF with Ethereum, overall Bitcoin and Ethereum, not that far off the high, like you said, but there's people want alt season, right? the people want their altcoin season. And I remember kind of us talking even before all this price action started, midwinter. And, there was a lot of takes out there that this was going to be a Bitcoin dominant bull market. And that has been the case so far. Not that it obviously things can change on a dime easily. But the fear greed index in my mind maybe makes sense. It doesn't align with, I think, kind of your average crypto trader who might, you know, have the Ethereum, have the Bitcoin, but really likes to kind of degen, if you will, their way into alts, because they're definitely feeling the pain. But if you had a solid balanced portfolio in this space right now, you know, there's no reason that you shouldn't be up, you know, a fair percentage points, because, you know, we've had that run. So I don't know if you like the fear greed index. I think you'd have to say, like, we gotta go down a little bit more before we take that next leg up. But that's just one indicator.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those indicators that's very often referenced, and I want to make sure everyone knows it's a bit of a lagging indicator as well. So it's not super time sensitive when it comes to this information. We're already starting to see it adjust pretty fast, with that, you know, yesterday being at a really high spot, and then overnight, even though there wasn't any kind of a drastic move, it's starting to unwind. And even overnight, I mean, we saw prices appreciate, but the fear and greed index tanked 10 points. So it's one of those things that we have to understand, that it is a lagging indicator, but it is something to kind of reference, because when you brought it up, the 1 month, the 1 week, the 1 day, like all the time frames were saying, hey, this thing has been overextended for a while, and it was probably due for a bit of a pullback. And I even want to show a chart that we showed a couple of months ago, when we were actually kicking this series off, that references exactly what we are talking about here. And that is just the fact that in previous market cycles, and this is just one of the examples, but in previous market cycles, we have traditionally seen about a dozen double-digit pullbacks in the bull run following the halving. And that represents about a year, year and a half period following the halving. In Bitcoin, we've seen about a double-digit pullbacks. So pullbacks of 10, 20, 30, sometimes even 40%. This is the chart from 2016. This is the chart from 2020. They look very similar. We can even go back and show one that's even deeper from the first Bitcoin halving cycle, but you're starting to get the picture here. So if Bitcoin is pulling back by 10, 20, 30%, what is that going to do to altcoins? And that's what I kind of want to hit home here, is that traditionally, we see altcoins move at about 2 to 3 times the speed of Bitcoin in both directions, up and down. Now, it just so happens to be that the markets are moving down right now, and when we're seeing Bitcoin fall by 3%, that could easily mean 9% for a lot of these altcoins. And that's what we're seeing. You know, even though Bitcoin's only down maybe 10%, Ethereum's down 15%, we're seeing a lot of altcoins that are down 30, 40, 50%. And that's just because they move at a lot faster of a rate than Bitcoin. And again, they're more closely correlated to Ethereum. So they fall fast, but they also move really fast to the upside. And that's why we saw a lot of these altcoins. I think we look at Ondo, we look at Pepe, we look at even the run that some of the AI coins have had, Render. There's all these coins, Aerodrome. There's all these coins that have done like 1,000% to the upside over the course of this year. And again, there's volatility both ways. And for months, we are hopping on here saying, look at this and look at this. And there's all these coins that are appreciating and everything's soaring. And this is just one of those times where it's like, hey, it's a natural occurrence. This kind of thing happens in the market. And it's nothing too out of the ordinary. And we have our catalyst that could be, you know, right on the horizon that acts as a reversal factor. Now, the other thing here, and this could be a pretty good sign as well, Tebow, you were the one who brought this to my attention. Coming in late last night, the SEC has dropped the Ethereum investigation, which is great news, right? I mean, huge news for the crypto market.
Yeah, I mean, it aligns with the ETH ETF, you know, passes. Obviously, the next step would be, it's a little counterintuitive if the SEC is greenlighting a ETF to be traded on the United States public markets on the U.S. Stock Exchange, while also having an open investigation. You know, you can't green light something if you have an open investigation, would be my theory. So this is definitely a sign that these ETFs are going to be trading sooner rather than later. I think our Bloomberg family over with James Safar and his team, I think they bumped up. I saw yesterday on Twitter, they bumped up their over-under was like first week of July. Obviously, it's July 4th holiday week, so not as many trading days. But, you know, I think they moved their over-under date up a little bit, or up a lot to that. So that'll be something to definitely keep an eye on. And then, yeah, I guess it's an interesting time, kind of like what we said. There's the price action is negative, but if you zoom out, you know, obviously the Bitcoin ETF and, you know, this ETF, and we're going to cover this later, but then the political climate is heating up just with general Bitcoin discussions being a part of the next presidential election, which is exciting. But yeah, when it comes to Ethereum, I didn't know what you saw specifically, if there's, you know, some price action where we are in the zone specifically on ETH as we prime it to what it was when Bitcoin was getting ready to launch its ETF. But it would be fascinating to see what happens, you know, compare it to that when it does.
Yeah, I mean, this raised two questions for me. Number one, is this happening because the Ethereum ETFs are near? And number two, is Ethereum primed for a move to the upside, and should it be considered undervalued at its current state? So answer the first question, right? You know, is this happening because the ETFs are near? I would say so. You kind of referenced this. I would say so. You're right. How can the SEC approve these Ethereum ETFs to begin trading live on the TradFi markets and yet have an open lawsuit calling this thing a security? It would be completely counterproductive, right? So I think that this is a very good sign that the Ethereum ETFs are growing near. And I think that this is just one of the necessities that needed to happen before we actually get these things trading live. So is this happening because the ETFs are near? I personally believe so. I think that's a clear sign from my perspective. Number two, is Ethereum primed and potentially even undervalued? And I think we can look at the charts here as well to kind of just get a good understanding of what Ethereum is doing at this level and my initial thoughts around it. Because I think, again, Ethereum and Bitcoin, if we look at these, with Ethereum being down only about 14% from its cycle high, with Bitcoin only being down roughly about maybe 12% from its cycle high, we're looking at these and they're not at a crazy spot. I mean, Ethereum is still above the 50-day moving average. It's nowhere near down here. I'm going to delete this, but it's nowhere near the 200-day moving average, and it's even farther away from breaking down below its previous low and into a lower low. And that's like the bare minimum that we need for any kind of a trend reversal. In fact, we are closer to breaking out to the highs. It's about 16% away than we are to breaking down to a lower low, which is about 20% away. So I'm looking at this over here and going, hey, Ethereum still looks pretty primed. And if it does see any kind of a similar reaction that Bitcoin did in response to its ETF, you know, let's just say it does the same 92% move, that put it at 6.7K. And I'm looking at Ethereum over here, and Ethereum is looking strong and it's looking good. And it's got to be one of the assets that I am the most interested in at the moment. We're also seeing altcoins recovering across the board today. Bitcoin's red, Maker's up 7%, Near's up 4.5%, Optimism's up 2%, IMX is up 6%, Sui's up 4%, Maple's up 4%. The list goes on. Like, we have all these. Ocean's up 11, AGIX is up 12, the Graph is up 7. Altcoins are recovering, and Bitcoin's actually still a little bit red on the day, which is something that's interesting over here. So when I'm looking at things, I'm going to make a quick call out. We rarely do this on these market rundowns, but there's two cryptos that I'm watching. And TiVo, I know that there's one that you're watching, and you know, you're welcome to share it as well. But when I'm looking at this, Ethereum, the obvious choice. Going into these ETFs, if we see positive inflows, I see Ethereum being massively positively impacted. So Ethereum is one that I am watching very closely here. And in regards to that, I like to look at Ethereum infrastructure. I've talked about Chainlink a little bit before, even Uniswap. And this is one that I had sold out of completely, and I have started building a position back in. So full transparency, I have exposure to a lot of these assets. But Uniswap is another one that I'm looking at over here. The chart's been kind of pushing up in the $12 zone. It's been hooking and closing above the 200-day moving average. And I would imagine that if Ethereum sees a lot of attention and attraction, the largest DEX for it would probably see some positive momentum as well. So I'm looking at this and kind of just looking at the Ethereum landscape, saying, hey, what could be impacted by all this news? What could maybe see some nice upwards of momentum in response to the ETFs? And there's a couple of options that we have. And then Tivo, you know, you were sharing one with me, which I actually liked. And
obviously never financial advice here. Just a couple guys talking crypto here and some opinions. But ENS, Ethereum Name Service. We actually had them on the podcast a while back, but I thought it was an interesting concept. Obviously, it's kind of about the, and correct me if I'm wrong because I'm not too technical with it, but it's like the naming rights, your .eth. So if, you know, Tivo.eth, Brendan.eth, and you see those a lot on the timeline and people are really proud of those. And as the Ethereum, you know, network goes live with this ETF and there's a lot of money going into it, you can imagine how it might grow usage-wise. And so the more usage-wise, you know, in my opinion, those .eths might become even more valuable. So I saw it was when the announcement went live, when the ETF got like approved, a month or so ago, I saw that thing rocket. Obviously, like you just said, find stuff that might be levered to ETH. And then so I kind of just put it on my radar. I was like, okay, there's the first jump. You know, you got to think the thing's going to cool off a little bit. Keep an eye on it. And it did. And you know, just put in a fair position, a fair size position, nothing too crazy. And then just, yeah, let it run. Be like, hey, this is an ETH levered play. You know, again, you never go all in on anything. But just try to find maybe some alpha around the Ethereum ecosystem.
Yeah, they basically are like the GoDaddy of Ethereum or the domain service for Ethereum. So if people want to get a domain, much like you do for a website, but you want to do that on Ethereum, ENS is kind of the leader when it comes to that space. So a cool one, and definitely go check out that podcast because we like to talk to all the leaders in the space. And while these crypto rundowns are targeted and focused on current events and what's happening in the market at the moment, we have a lot of great podcasts because we always want to stay in touch with what these builders and these leaders are doing as well.
Yeah, 100%. And kind of just segueing into what we talked about with the positive catalyst, we'll wrap up this week's episode with some politics. Now, we don't like to get too political on the Crypto 101 podcast, and that's not the goal of this segment. It's more just awareness, which is what this show is all about. And I think you'll agree with me, Brendan, as our whole team does, is you can't ignore what's going on in the presidential election between Trump and Biden. Obviously, if you live in the United States, it's a big deal no matter what. However, it does seem within the last about 6 weeks since Trump had a pro-crypto event at Mar-a-Lago and some videos started going, you know, we'll call it viral, getting tons of views, tons of hits. And I think his campaign got a lot of positive feedback from it. He's doubled down. I mean, this guy's putting out a pro crypto tweet video at least once a week. And to compare it to the other side, well, let's just play the clip. So here's, in case you're not paying attention to anything political, which I would totally understand because it's just a complete a lot of noise. Let me just play. Here's a 15-second clip. I think this came out yesterday at a Trump event, but and the point is just so you can hear it. If you haven't heard any of these clips yet, you know, you need to hear it to understand the sentiment that he's preaching. So let's listen to this clip right here.
To further secure America's future and create opportunity for young people, I will end Joe Biden's war on crypto. We will ensure that the future of crypto and the future of Bitcoin will be made in America. Otherwise, other countries are going to have it.
Obviously, it's a pro crypto stance, and this is what I've seen over the last 6 weeks is he's doubling down on the pro-crypto stance, whereas Joe Biden was basically anti-crypto. I mean, you got Joe Biden, Liz Warren, and then, you know, the SEC falls under his administration. That's Gary Gensler. We all know how I'm a big fan of making Gary memes and letting him know how I feel about his policies. But what's happening right now is there's a surge going towards the Joe Biden camp, and they're seeing how positive the reaction is for the Trump camp for this pro-crypto stance. And they are slowly but surely, you know, between the SEC, I mean, that SEC ETH ETF approval, like that's something to note. That, you know, we don't know what happens behind the scenes, but hey, maybe there's a call from the White House like, hey, let's ramp down, you know, the crypto hate a little bit. And, you know, I saw an announcement that some Biden camp people are attending a pro crypto event in DC next week. So you're starting to see the other camp that was, you know, before anti-crypto in reality starting to change. And you're seeing a lot of chatter on the timeline of now both camps trying to figure out how they can tap into this, you know, crypto industry in a positive way. And you can't turn a blind eye to that as a positive catalyst. You know, maybe it's not this summer, you know, obviously the fall is the election, but you know, over the next year, if you have both political parties being positive towards it, I don't think you can think of it as a negative.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, ending the war on crypto, ensuring it for future generations. And I, you know, the one point that I will say, the only kind of time we talk about this stuff is when it has to do with the crypto market, but he made a really good point that if we don't set up this infrastructure and if we don't get here, other countries will. They'll take the lead on it. They'll take business away. They'll take the potential, you know, growth in the space that it has away. They'll take a lot of resources away here. So like, why would we not want our country to be at the forefront of an emerging industry? It just doesn't make sense, right? We try to say that we are staying at the forefront of technology and AI and all these other things, right? But yeah, I don't know. I thought it was a really good point. And it's interesting how this is all developed, because crypto is now like a mainstream, it's a mainstream political issue.
It really is.
All these different politicians are talking about it. We just saw one the other day, Mike Collins, disclosed that he was buying different cryptos and altcoins publicly. Yeah.
He was deep in the altcoin market, wasn't he?
Oh yeah, he was buying a low market cap that you know, we're familiar with, but we'll let everyone do their own research.
Yeah, I think that when you look at it from afar, like everything from the memes, like how the memes have been going crazy this year, to Bitcoin ETFs, to political parties now being pro crypto. If you tie the whole thing together, it's quite funny, honestly. If you're looking at the crypto space from 10,000 feet.
It is, man. It really is. Well, I think that's a good place to kind of wrap us up. Definitely a lot happening, right? I mean, altcoins saw this move down. The crypto market is moving all over the place, but so many good things are happening in the background, especially as altcoins today are seeing some serious recovery with a lot of them up double digits on this move back to the upside. So hoping that we can continue to see this. I'm not getting my hopes up too much for the short term. And I want to kind of emphasize that before we go here, is that we're looking at the short term saying, hey, there might be a little bit of uncertainty in the short term. But man, when we look at the mid and the long term, this stuff is still looking primed. And this is not an area where I'm looking at the crypto market and I'm entering massive short positions or I'm exiting massive amounts of my crypto positions. This just isn't a spot where I'm doing that, at least not yet, because this, from what I see, is only short-term downside. And I want to see what happens in wake of the election. And I want to see what happens in wake of these Ethereum ETFs and so many other things that are happening in the background, especially as the SEC has dropped their investigation into Ethereum. So I think it sets a really good precedent for the whole industry. We're going to make sure that we keep all of you updated on everything that's happening in the crypto market, as we like to do in these crypto rundowns. So if you liked this series and if you liked this video, make sure you tune back in next week, because we got a lot of great content that is coming your way. And also check out the rest of our content as well. We got the podcast, we got the Crypto 101 YouTube channel, and there we're constantly doing all sorts of tutorials and market updates and a lot of great other resources for you all as well. So we're going to go ahead and wrap it up here, everyone. Make sure you hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, and we're going to see all of you at the same time, same place next week.
Save big this holiday season, all in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details. Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.